You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I didn't check the weather this morning, so I was assuming it was going to be like yesterday, but it's going to be a little chilly today.
Yeah, it's going to remain. 66 was the high early this morning.
It's October 1st, people.
I know. You want to tell Calvin that?
Yeah, it's October 1st, Calvin.
So I should have realized.
Yeah. So we're more than a week into fall, and this weather's so spectacular, particularly for October 1st.
I mean, I completely agree. It's just yesterday was near 80.
Hey, Sandy.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. It's October 1st.
Well,
there you go.
Well, for the next 7 days, it's going to be 70 degrees.
I know.
So that's fine. Leave it in the 70s for me. I'm all right with it.
If we're going to talk about weather, we should not complain, okay? Because the weather gods will definitely take revenge. People talk about how great the weather is in North Carolina, Asheville, the dream place in the world. I've seen these videos of this mountain town in Asheville that gets washed away.
Well, you know, Sandy, a lot to talk about, but how could we not talk about Helena and the impact of, man?
I mean, the thing is that this whole climate change thing, people want to debate about it, talk about it. There is no question that the intensity of the storms is costing the economy a fortune, okay? These storms come at great expense. Number one, it's destroying the insurance industry and the capacity of the insurance industry to provide insurance against these kinds of horrific occurrences. So flood insurance is a disappearing product. If you own a house that's at potential risk of flood, forget about flood insurance because it's going to cost you way too much money. You're going to have to self-insure yourself against that risk, and if you need flood insurance to get a mortgage, then forget about a mortgage. You know, and this is what's happening in places around the country that have become much more susceptible to flooding. Florida, okay, Naples, Florida. I mean, you know, the all we have to do is open the newspaper, watch video news.
Time after time, Sandy.
This last week, North Carolina, towns getting washed away. Naples, the Gulf Coast of Florida, washed away. I mean, it's these are horrific. This is the stuff that horror movies used to be made of, okay? And now they're becoming frequent and less surprising news events.
But Sandy, Naples, every couple years, it's the same thing.
Well, so, it's interesting. Naples is sort of like Milwaukee's in Florida. I think Naples has only had a couple of big incidents.
Okay.
But they're becoming more common now, much more frequent. And the level of damage that's done is much more material in terms of water rushing through streets, washing buildings, cars. Water's an immensely damaging it's a thing, and it happens not just to one house, it happens to entire communities, which is why it's so hard to get insurance against it.
Well, you know, Sandy, how do you even begin when the ocean comes into your home and all the things that are in the ocean are left once they leave your home, and then the insurance, you rebuild. I'm watching These poor people say, well, I've lost everything. I guess we'll have to rebuild.
Yeah.
You know,
well, the rebuilding is what's is where the problem it lies, because once they've experienced floods like that, in order to finance the rebuilding, whoever wants to, whoever is going to give the loan is going to want to have insurance against that risk happening again. And now it's becoming very, very difficult to buy flood insurance. Flood insurance is so expensive that people, even with valuable homes, are deciding to self-insure against the flood insurance because, you know, they could pay $40,000 a year for flood insurance.
Wow. You know, and then you just... It's watching North Carolina, like you said, Georgia, and those areas that, you know, normally it doesn't come up that far.
Yeah, what, you know, what do we have to worry about? We worry about tornadoes that we read about that happen someplace else.
Yeah, not in
this year we were worried about cicadas, which really didn't happen either. You know, I mean, really, our climate is a very safe place to live, and it's beautiful, you know. So anyway, our morning talks about whether we're going to have sunshine or clouds is kind of lame, because what people worry about elsewhere is much worse.
Sandy, let me ask you, one of the a presidential candidate named Donald Trump ran down to Georgia for a photo op.
Right.
And he's standing there.
Did he take paper towels?
No. And he's standing there. These people have been devastated. Many people still missing.
Yeah.
Joe Biden said he's not going down there right now because he doesn't want to interfere. Most presidents, I remember George Bush Jr. when Katrina
yeah.
hit New Orleans. He only looked at it from above. He didn't want to interfere. And so, but Donald Trump is there right away smiling.
Well, he was there smiling, and then he was telling people that making bleep up. because.
Hey, Calvin, what did Sandy just say? Making what?
Bleep. making bleep up because. You know, someone talks, he said, you know, I don't think the governor, well, they asked him, how's the governor handling this? How's the president? What's happening with the government? How are they handling it? He said, well, I think the governor's trying to reach the White House, but he can't reach the White House. You know, I suspect he will sometime, but they don't seem to be answering, blah, blah. And that was his answer, as if he knew something about it. But the fact was that the governor already reported that he had talked to the president, that the president had called him. And he didn't receive the call in time, and he called the president back an hour later. And so this had all happened. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is making up the notion that the president and the White House have been hard to reach, and we don't know if he'll get reached, blah, blah. You know, he just made up something because it would sell, it would be a nifty thing for his campaign if in fact it was true, except it wasn't true.
Well, but Sandy, it's all right if you're going to make it up, but don't do it in front of the cameras.
Well, it is nothing. It's not all right to make it up.
No.
But then apparently it was pointed out to him, and you said that he just changed the subject.
Yeah. So the camera people are watching him there.
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, no, Joe Biden is not. He's not down here. He hasn't said anything. Kamala's." Busy trying to raise money. I'm here. They said, well, President Trump, former President Trump, the governor said he had a conversation already with Joe Biden. Trump dropped his head and said, I don't believe it. And he turned around and he walked away.
So, yeah. But I mean, I don't understand why people buy this, why they listen to it, and why they are willing to give a person a pass who will make anything up.
Make
bleep up all day. And it's on any subject, and it's all the time. And his rambling discussions, he talks about how amazing it is that he'll give two-hour rallies and never rehearse them, never mispronounce a word, he says. And if you listen to them, It's all not, it's stream of conscience nonsense, most of which is just made up.
Well, you know, yesterday I called it the Ted Mack Amateur Hour. Remember?
I do remember the Ted Mack.
So, yes. So he's.
I wish it was that other thing. There used to be something from the theater in Harlem where they had a hook. It was an amateur show, and they would ring a bell, and then they would come out.
And the guy would come out dancing, and they would hook
him and pull him off the stage.
Yeah, I know exactly what it is.
That's what they need.
But Sandy, if he'll lie about nothing, what about real tough issues that come up and the people need to feel assured that they got a person who's going to tell the truth?
Well, he does. You know, he talks about how he's got a program to solve the healthcare issues. There's no program, never was. He talked about that. How could the American public listen to that again? He said that when he ran in 2016, that he had a wonderful program, that he, you know, a comprehensive program that was going to be better. Never had anything, never proposed anything, never had a plan. He just made it up. And so, you know, we continually get this on not just extraneous sort of nonsensical stuff, but on everything.
Well, Sandy.
And I should think, I said this before, but he talks like a 7-year-old child who talks about himself with braggadocio. And if your 7-year-old child talked like that, you'd take him aside and say, Junior, you can't talk like that. You've got to be humble. You can't talk about yourself and talk about how beautiful you are, what a beautiful body you have on the beach. And you can't tell people what a fantastic golfer you are. And you can't tell people that you're smart, that you're a genius, that you've got a huge brain, that your brain muscle is so effective. You can't talk like that because people don't talk like that. Well, it turns out they do.
You know, he clearly, when he got caught, when the news media and the camera said, well, we've already heard that the governor himself has said he's been in contact. He turned around, Sandy, he dropped his head, and he says, I don't believe that.
Well, you know, that's the
walked away.
That's the nasty media. They keep doing this kind of truth thing on him, and they don't do it on the other candidates. It makes him so angry.
Right.
Maybe there's a reason.
855-752-4842. You know, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. When we come back, we're going to spend some time, a couple minutes. We have to talk about Jimmy Carter, former President Jimmy Carter, 100 years old. All right.
Take the ribbon from my hair, shake it loose and let it fall, laying soft against your skin, like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it through tonight.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And before we get to our guest, Sandy, it's amazing that former President Jimmy Carter is still here.
I know. I mean, he's been in hospice, they said, since February of 23. Now he's turning 100. That's over it's a year and a half, more, almost 2 years in hospice care.
How is it possible?
Well, the guy's...
I know.
He's tough.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah. And, you know, and to be honest with you, what a humanitarian, you know, people can argue about what level of presidency he had. And I think the further we get beyond him and look backwards in history, there were a lot of good things that he was doing during his presidency. But since his presidency, he's been an unbelievable international figure in terms of playing a role in getting rid of disease and making and spreading civil right, protecting civil rights around the world, you know, protecting elections and this integrity of elections.
You know, Sandy,
Habitat for Humanity. What an initiative!
The highest standard of what you don't expect any other president to be able to rise to the level that Jimmy Carter has been able to maintain since he left office.
Yeah.
He and his wife totally committed. You know, they still remain in the small little house that he had all. I mean, really, he you know, the guy was well off. He owned a peanut farm.
Well, I think he was not terribly well off. You know, I think he was always a down-to-earth guy, comfortable. You know, he went to Annapolis, was a naval officer for a while, had a peanut farm, became governor. You know, got crosswise, I think, with the Kennedy family when he took the nomination away from Ted, became president. But he, I just think his post-presidency is such an exemplary kind of an example of what a human being can do when they have the power of being an ex-president. They can use it for so much good, and he did.
You know, Sandy, I think most people don't even know that he's still alive, you know.
He might not.
I'm sorry. Come on. But Jimmy Carter, such a humanitarian.
Yeah.
And really, if you really wanted to see a Christian and a person who lived his life as that, in the dictionary, there should be a photo of Jimmy Carter and Rosalind Carter.
Yeah.
Under Christianity.
Yeah.
Because they lived their life in that manner. Anyway, I want to welcome back to the studio Mr. Tom Content. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
You are the executive director of the Citizens Utility Board.
That's right.
So tell us, you know, what the Citizens Utility Board is. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
We do.
Breathtaking.
Initials like CUB or CPA, you know, same.
Exactly. Oh,
public. Yeah.
Citizens Utility Board is your consumer advocate. So we're working for the people of Wisconsin every day to try to make sure that what happens with We Energies and the other monopoly utilities is fair and affordable.
And actually, it is kind of exciting. If you think the Bible story of David and Goliath is exciting, which it is, CUB is, in a way, it's the David that is out there working for the ratepayers.
Yeah, so, and we've been around for 45 years. We're celebrating 45 years this year. We're having a celebration in December 3rd down at Radio Milwaukee. And hope people can come join us. We've been around for 45 years, and over the years, we've saved the people of Wisconsin billions of dollars through our advocacy to bring down the size of the rate increases that the utilities are proposing.
Well, is it safe? You know, I mean, is it that time of year again?
Well, it is It is a little bit of a Groundhog Day aspect to this.
Yeah.
We Energy's customers in particular just saw a double-digit increase hit over the last 2 years. And same with WPS in Green Bay, customers in northern Wisconsin. And now starting today and over the next week, there'll be public hearings for another increase for both We Energy's and WPS.
Double-digit again.
For a residential customer of We Energy's, they're looking at an 18% increase.
Wow.
Over the next 2 years if the utility gets everything it's looking for. And I was just looking, if you combine what the what they're asking for on the electric side, which is what I was just talking about. Plus, there's an increase on their natural gas side of their business. It ends up being for a typical customer about $500 that more that they'll be paying by 2026. And so that's, we just think, you know, there's a lot that people are struggling with. Some people are struggling more than others. Some people can't afford big increases, but we think they're just asking for too much.
I always pictured Jabba the Hutt as sort of a utility caricature. But I represented utilities in my day, so I'm sort of speaking against my interest. But the Cub is a really important organization.
You've
we'll
come
talk
back after. From the dark.
Huh?
You've come back from the dark.
I have.
welcome. Anyway, 855-752-4842. We welcome back Tom Cunton. He is the executive director of the Utilities Board. We Energies, WPS customers, and it's that time of year again. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. And it's sad to be alone. Help me make it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Take the ribbon from your hair. Shake it loose and let it fall. Laying soft against your skin, like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it through tonight.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy the Music.
Well, the music's all knitted together by the fellow who wrote all the music, but didn't necessarily perform it, but all of them are number ones that made it to the top of the hit parade. It's Kris Kristofferson, who just passed away, unfortunately. But
all right, so in the studio, Mr. Tom
Content.
All right, and he is the executive director of the Utility Board and Licensing.
Citizens Utility Board. Yep.
We're
the consumer advocate. Yep. For homeowners, renters, and small businesses across the state.
So, you know, guys, the last thing people want to hear, there's so many people struggling. Sandy, you talked about the middle class and the $6,000 that.
Well, I mean, you know, the $6,000 was the average yearly utility bill that I, from the census information that I had for the average family.
Which is, you know.
Well, it's going to go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if that goes up 10%, that's another $600, which is coming out of a living paycheck to paycheck environment, which is everybody up to about 100,000 finds themselves living that way.
Well, how come it never goes down, man? And one thing that I see, Tom, is I never see We Energies. They've got the top equipment, brand new, whatever it is they need, they have it. I don't see them driving around in old dilapidated trucks, and they pay their employees well.
Yeah, they've done very well. Their shareholders have done very well compared to the average utility across the country because of their high profits. And, you know, one of the challenges is they just built a fleet of, they just transformed their fleet by building a new coal plant in the last 15 years. And now they're kind of reversing course on that and quickly adjusting to what it should have been all along and trying to propose converting that to natural gas. But every time they build, that puts pressure on our rates that and that enables them to earn those higher profits. And so we're really putting a spotlight in this case on affordability and the customer's ability to pay. Energy burden is a real serious problem, and it's a serious problem in Milwaukee, and it's actually a big problem in the rural parts of the of Wisconsin, where We Energies has Wisconsin gas customers.
It's interesting. I spent a long career, much of it involved with the electric industry, and in the 70s and 80s, Wisconsin was the kind of the leading state for the way it regulated utilities. Their utilities had the highest financial ratings in the country. We had some of the lowest electric rates in the country, and we had a very rigorous process for the regulation of the utilities. And somehow, over time, and I would accuse the utilities of doing maybe an overly effective job of developing lobbying and the capacity to affect the legislature, our utilities have moved in the direction that now We Energies is very proud to stand before the investment community and tell them that they're probably the top the top utility for investment purposes in the country. The question is, can Wisconsin consumers afford to have a utility in that position? Because they could adequately raise capital without having the very leading position in the country with respect to returns, profitability, et cetera.
Exactly. And we took a look at that in this case. And we actually said, okay, it's time to take a long view and say, you know, what's really happened over the last 20 years? Because if you take a long view, We Energies shareholders, if you invested $1,000 in We Energies stock, you would be up to about $9,000. So an eightfold increase. And that's coming on the backs of the customers. And those customers have seen their bills go up more than double in that same period, and at a rate that's much higher than inflation. It may have moderated a little bit in the last few years, but now what we're in terms of versus inflation, but now you're looking at what's in front of the regulators, the Public Service Commission right now, is a proposal that would increase residential bills 18% over the next 2 years. And we checked, and you know, inflation is forecast to be, you know, under 2.5%.
So from the perspective of someone who's ignorant to how this works, what happens when they say we need these increases? You guys negotiate with them on behalf of the citizens, or how does it work?
Well, we can negotiate at times, and sometimes we just fight. And this year we're fighting we have experts on staff, economists and policy experts, who basically are saying, time out. We got to make affordability job one right now. And so let's bring down the profits, which would save $100 or $25 million over the next couple of years. Let's not allow the utility to profit after coal plants shut down. They want to keep profiting for 17 more years after the coal plant shuts down. And then the PSC, the regulators who work for the state government, they have auditors who've been taking a close look at all these proposals. And so I'm optimistic that when we get to the end of the game, end of the process here, that it'll be the increase will be below what the utility is asking for. And that's what usually happens.
But the way it works is that there's a Public Service Commission. These people are appointed by governors. They have a term of office that usually means that there are a mix of parties because of the duration of the term. And so the commissioners act as judges, essentially, and they have hearing proceedings that are ongoing, that are like a trial, but they're regulatory trials. And then the Public Service Commission comes out with a decision about what the rates ought to be. They could get appealed, but the courts pay great deference to the expertise of these agencies, much like the Chevron doctrine that was just overturned at the federal level. And so, you know, there's the unfortunate part of it is that it's all complicated, and it's very hard for the public to get its arms around it. And that's why someone like Cub, who brings expertise to the opposition side of the table, is a very important entity. But, you know,
but we are seeing the public get more involved in the process in the last few years because of all the spotlight on inflation and rising cost and challenging to the cost of living. People are actually getting involved. They're showing up at the public hearings. We hope they will show up this week and next week at the public hearings. But in recent cases, they've been filing comments. People are using their voice, and we think, You know, when a better outcome for all customers is when more people participate.
So my guest is Tom Content. Did I get it?
It's content. Like content.
It's like a happy cow.
Okay.
Happy contented cows. Isn't that
a happy cub means lower rates.
Yeah. Silent T.
No, content.
It is content.
It's content. It's like the happy Elsie the cow.
We solved that problem. But
yeah.
All right. Okay. And so he's the executive director of the utilities board. You know, so let me ask you guys, because again, the average citizen continues to see these things and they say, well, where's the competition for We Energies? The fact that they don't have any competition, does that make it easier for them to continue to do what they're doing?
Wisconsin was one of the earliest in this in the early 1900s, but they decided, it was decided by most states that they would set up monopoly utilities so that you didn't have multiple wires running to every house. You just have one company, one set of wires, one set of poles, but that's a monopoly. And in order for that monopoly not to gouge its customers, they needed to have regulated prices. And so the Public Service Commission is set up as the state's regulatory body to make sure that the monopoly utilities don't gouge customers and only get a reasonable rate, and that the rates are such that the necessary electric service gets provided to customers. And like I said, Wisconsin did a great job of it over quite a period of time. I would say that our commission has a little catching up to do to become the top kind of regulatory commission that it used to be.
Yeah, I think we need to have a little more balance balance from the commission on between the customers and the shareholders.
So, question, are you a private corporation, and is We Energies also a private corporation?
We Energies is a subsidiary of a publicly, you know, they're a private company. They're a publicly traded company on the stock market. Cub is a nonprofit. We're a nonpartisan, independent nonprofit organization. We were actually created by the legislature, but created as a nonprofit to stand up for the people of Wisconsin and be the watchdog for you on the behalf of utility customers.
You know, Sandy, you said you spent time in that line
of business.
That's like,
sounded like prison. I did. I spent time.
You're free now.
In that line of business.
Yeah, I did.
But, you know, I thought things got progressively worse once they acquired the electric company.
Well, what happened?
We Energies.
Well, Energies was Wisconsin Electric originally, and Wisconsin Electric set up a holding company, and its first acquisition, a primary acquisition, was Wisconsin Gas Company, right, which then became a part of We Energies. More recently, it acquired Wisconsin Public Service Corporation, which was the utility serving the northeast quadrant of the state of Wisconsin. And at that point, We Energies basically is the energy provider for gas and electricity on the eastern half of the state of Wisconsin. And as a result, we don't have as much. It used to be that we had four major utilities in the state, and each one of them could be compared against one another, and that comparison could help drive down rates because the utility commission could point over there and say, look how WPS is doing, We Energies. We can't.
Because their prices are lower.
Their prices are lower, but that's not going to be the case any longer on the eastern half of the state. So now we have three utilities, basically. Northern States Power, headquartered in Minnesota. We have Alliant Energy, southwest quadrant. And then we have We Energies, which is more than half the state population-wise.
So let me ask you guys. Tom says make the electric company a public utility, and then you solve your problem.
Well,
you shouldn't have that job. That's what our politicians are supposed to do. This is ridiculous. Sandy, you want to respond to that?
Well, very few states have publicly owned public utilities. Nebraska is a public power state. It hasn't been demonstrated that that's actually a much cheaper option. That isn't the problem. The problem is the regulation of what is called a public utility, which is a private corporation that is denominated a public utility that is the provider under a monopoly grant from the state. And most states have that model operating.
We do have some municipally owned public power utilities in Wisconsin, and you know, Manitowoc is an example. Cedarburg, closer to Milwaukee, and even Shawnee and Kaukauna. And on balance, that they their prices are a little lower just because you don't have to pay those investors that return, that profit, which We Energies and WPS are looking for a 10% profit rate or return on equity right now. And we're saying, no, that's way too high. So there are some savings you get with public power, but what people have complained about is why can't we just convert We Energies to public power? And that's, it's not as simple. And it's practically talk about David Goliath efforts at trying to convert a private company into public power.
All right. 855-752-4842. My guess is Tom
Content.
It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll continue it on the other side.
Yesterday is dead and gone, and tomorrow's outside, and it's sad to be alone. Help me make it.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and Sandy the Music.
Yeah, this is all music written by Chris Christopherson, sung by others. Although at the end, I will hear a little bit of Chris himself. He was a singer and songwriter that I enjoyed, and he just died.
All right, my guest is Tom Content.
Good to be with you.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a struggle.
Well, I think, yeah.
You know, it's spelled one way, and
that's all right.
Yeah.
We're good.
All right, okay. So, anyway, he is the executive director of the Utilities Board, and so you wanted to talk about dates and times.
Yeah, so the public hearings are actually happening, and they're starting this afternoon. So down in Racine today at the Cesar Chavez Community Center at 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock, there's going to be a hearing from the PSC. So people can come out and speak their minds. Or this Thursday in Milwaukee at 1 o'clock or 6 o'clock at the Drury Plaza Hotel right there on North Water Street, Water in Wisconsin. There's going to be a big crowd. That'll be at 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock. We're expecting a big crowd there. And then WPS customers have a chance to speak out next week on Thursday the 10th. And that's going to be at the Ashwaubenon Community Center just south of Lambeau Field. And that's going to be on October 10th. And if people don't have to come to the hearings, there are ways to participate by Zoom so people can actually speak their voice from their homes. Or they can actually just file a comment on the Public Service Commission website. And we're, in past cases, you've seen hundreds and hundreds, sometimes thousands of people get involved in this process. We call it energy democracy when more people participate, and everybody wins if more people participate. And so we have information on all the hearings on our website, cubwi.org. Just check out our active cases page, and you'll find out all the dates and times and get all the information you need to participate.
So the public's opinion really does matter.
I think it matters even more than Cubs, because what happens is the commission gets kind of inured to the presentations by the utility and by Cub, And I think the public's activity is, because this is ultimately a political entity, these are appointed people, and I think they react to the public's outcry. And, you know, I would say that people complain and want to complain about the price of gasoline and have nothing, they have no control over it. This is someplace where actually you can have some input and you can have some control over the price of something that is more expensive to you than gasoline.
That's right. There's the old saying, why should I bother? You can't fight City Hall. But this is a case where you can. This is, you know, the more people get involved, the better the outcome. And sometimes the commissioners, in the last hearings 2 years ago, we had two of the appointees of Governor Evers who were commissioners sat in on the hearings in person in Milwaukee. They may or may not be there this week, but if not, they'll be either watching the hearing on YouTube, or they'll be certainly reading the transcript of all the public comments. So people's voice does matter.
Tom Quickly.
Yeah.
From L.A. Tom, Earl? Go ahead.
Yeah, Earl. This is why it's so important that we really understand, we the people really understand the difference between public and private. Because if it's a private corporation, they have got to make a profit. If it's a private corporation, then, you know, they basically listen to their shareholders. They're not listening to we the people. I understand what this gentleman's doing, which is great. But the thing is, anything that's a natural monopoly that's in the commons, whether that's roads, bridges, electricity, gas, this should be in the hands of a public utility. And then we should be able to find out, rather than knowing about where a person stands on transgender rights, we should be able to go to our politician and say, how is it that you feel about this rate increase? And then vote their butts out of office if they're not going to do something. Like Sandy said, it's about childcare, healthcare, taxes, renter mortgage. It's about utilities. It's about things that Tom, Dick, and Joe, or whatever Sandy says, are worried about on a day-to-day basis. And that's what our politicians are supposed to be for. And he's basically taking the place of our politicians, because our politicians are too busy dialing for dollars all day that they're not even able to actually do their job, which is basically supposed to be beholden to we the people.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Anybody want to
take a stab at that? The word public utility is kind of a one that can confuse people, because these utilities that are private corporations are called public utilities because they provide service to the public by selling electricity, and they're regulated, okay? Public utilities are, by definition, regulated monopolies. And it didn't make sense at the beginning of this industry to have multiple providers. It made sense to give franchises to monopolies and then to regulate the monopolies. And that's been the business model that's been followed more successfully in some states than others. Tom lives in California. They've had bankrupt utilities recently go bankrupt there, basically because of their ineptitude, or at least their alleged and the court adjudicated ineptitude with respect to causing fires and explosions.
Hey, Tom, quickly, the dates and times of the hearings.
Yes, today in Racine, this afternoon, this evening, Thursday in Milwaukee, 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. in Milwaukee, and next week in Green Bay on October 10th.
All right, I guess we'll see you this time next year. we'll know who the president is. All right. On the other side, got a lot more to talk about. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. The sound of the sleeping city sidewalk
and Sunday morning coming down. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.